today, and I don't know whether we see the urgency of the matter, that is, people are dying every day. Hebrews 9:27 states that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that cometh the judgment. But the sad thing, when you look at statistics and you look at people who are dying, are people who just don't know Christ. And when I look at that word, knowing Christ, I don't look at one who say he know him but don't understand him. Because Ephesians 5:17 says that we must understand what is the will of the Lord. To know, 1 John 5:13, these things that are written that we may know. To be able to be transformed, Romans 12:2, by the renewing of their mind. So we got two classes of people. You have a religious sect who say they know, but they don't know. Or you may have people who have no religious affiliation. That is, that they have no contact or influence or whatever it may be with some form of religion. The statistics I read the other day in preparing this lesson, that over 4 billion people in the world today do not have any religious affiliation. Now, I can't break that down in relationship to Birmingham, Alabama, or Fairfield, Alabama, wherever you live. Only you can look around among your family members, your coworkers, your acquaintances, or people that you associate with on a daily basis, that you know, that maybe based on your understanding and knowledge and transformation that has taken place, the question that we need to ask as we examine ourselves, as Paul say, we are those written epistles, written in red in the heart of all men, based on us being the light, the salt, ambassadors, the royal priesthood, those peculiar people. What influence do we have on those individuals that, based on our Christian example, based on how do people see you, how do people see me in relationship to that center of influence that we gonna be held accountable for based on the life that we live? I'm gonna begin in the book of Matthew. Let's go to a scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Jesus talks about the harvest. Because if you don't believe statistics, if you don't believe what's around you today, look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 37 and verse number 38. He says, "Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Now I'm going to stop there because there are two words there that need examination. Number one, as we look at what Jesus is saying here, number one, when he says that the harvest true is plenteous, the next question that we need to ask, if we are to pull a circle around that word, who in my center of influence that will make up that word plenteous? That is it my mama, my daddy, my brother, my sister, my coworker? That is of examination of 2 Corinthians 13:5. Because brothering, we as brothering gonna be held accountable based on not a choice. When we talk about soul winning, and I say this all the time, see, if people gonna see Jesus, they got to see him in our lives. Because we're the church. I mean, they can't see it on the TV, or they can't see it based on denomination or doctrine, a thing that cannot be proven by the word of God. So when you look at that word plenteous, do self-examination. Would it be that maybe you need a pad and a pencil and you begin to make note that who is in your life that may make up that word? It may not amount to 4 billion people, but if that's just one soul, that based on my life and your life, that will ask that magic question, what must I do to be saved? That's enough to make the church say amen. But if we fail to identify, or we fail to be truthful with ourselves, or we fail to say, well, I don't have time, I'm saved and I'm going to forget about everybody else, or with the second phase, will we be held accountable when Jesus says, but the laborers are few? You know, just as we command upon the first day of the week to lay by in store as we prosper, or just because we command about the first day of the week to celebrate the death, burial, and the resurrection, I think soul winning is just as important. Because people around us every day, and it's a sad day to have to go to a funeral on Saturday, or go to a funeral, and then you go into these denominational churches, and these same people for years that we have had some contact with. But because we didn't realize what Jesus is saying when he said the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few, these individuals are dying and going to hell. Why would we want to go to somebody's funeral like that? Now, I can see the world going to these funerals because the blind can't lead the blind. I mean, it's nothing that they can do because they don't have truth. They're not in the church. They're not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about you and me. But it will be a sad day when the blood is on our hands simply because we did not do everything that we possibly could do. And I know you can't make people obey the gospel. You can't make people come and visit with us here at Fair Park. You can't make people be faithful among your own children, among your wife or your husband, whatever it may be. You can't force these people to serve the Lord. It's a choice that each individual has to make, because every man must bear his own burden. But don't be held accountable based on the life that we live, that people do not see Jesus in us, that people do not see that we are those written epistles, written and read in the heart based on the 21 books. And it's what we've been talking about. The four, the one, the 21, the one. Those 21 books from Romans through Jude is the instructions that we need to be transformed, to be in compliance to what Jesus is saying. Look at the next verse. He says, we need to pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest. How many of us truly can say, do we literally pray for the lost? Do you pray for your coworkers? Do you pray for your family members? Do you literally get on your knees and say, Father, let me be an instrument. Use me to be a seed bearer. 1 Corinthians 3:6, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Or do we just take it for granted? They come if they want to come. I don't see the urgency of the matter when people around us in our own family are dying every single day. Ask yourself the question, how many funerals have you been through this year that people that you have some influence or have some association, but when you went to the funeral, you knew that they was in the same case of that rich man in Luke 16, that they died and went to hell and lifted up their eyes in pain and they cried, Father Abraham, because we did not pray for them. That through the power of the word of God, Romans 1:16, and by the life that we live, that they did not ask that question, what must I do to be saved? Are we praying for the harvest? Or are we satisfied here at Fair Park? Don't rock the boat, Al. Don't have time to door knock. Don't have time to pass out flyers. And guess what, brethren? It don't have to be an appointed time. You may say, well, Fair Park door knock every third Saturday. It don't have to be just once a month. Because you know and I know the urgency of the matter. Every day we have life. We should be teaching the good news about Jesus. But are we praying? Praying. Think about this here. Are you praying about your mama? Are you praying about your daddy? Are you praying about your siblings? People you work with every day. Think about that. People you're going to see Tuesday, because Monday's a holiday maybe, that you have been looking in their face every day. This year. You can talk about the football game. You can talk about other things. But we don't have time to talk about Jesus. To pray for the harvest. That is, Lord, just use me. Let me be the ambassador. Mold me, Father, into what you want me to be so that I can do your will. So that people can see Jesus. See Jesus. That's what Jesus looked like. Because we are heirs of God, we are joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Genesis 1:26, we're made in his image. Somebody said, well, what do Jesus look like? I look in the mirror. It's me and you. Pray. Ye therefore. Look what Jesus said. This is something to think about. I remember one time God bless his soul, Brother Sobels. Brother Brown can remember, boy, when we was baptizing. Boy, we was really adding them to the body of Christ. And Brother Sobels got so excited. Because Brother Sobels was in an environment whereby people just didn't do it no more. And he looked at me, he said, well, Brother Lyles, are we still baptizing people today? And it astonished me when he made that statement. And the reason why it astonished me was because we still use 66 books. God's word hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. The problem is we have changed. We have forgot. We don't see the urgency of the matter. And people are dying every single day. I'm not trying to pull us on a guilt trip. Because if you're on a guilt trip and you don't understand what Jesus is saying, you're going to miss the point. The only thing that I'm doing tonight is speaking from God's word. That's the only thing that I'm doing. And the reason why, Brother Terry, I'm bringing this sermon up is because I think, foul Paul, with the nucleus that what we are doing in relationship with some spiritual things that we are doing with the Tuesday email, with the website, with the study that we are doing as a congregation, as a whole. See, we are doing that in order to get us on a spiritual ground whereby we can all be one, speak the same thing, build the same mind, so that we can realize the responsibility that is that the blind can't lead the blind, that we have to be put on the whole arm of God so that when we go out in this community, we'll be able to do the Lord's will. Come with me to Ezekiel. I want to read a scripture to you. It's found in Ezekiel 18. And I said I wasn't going to speak long, but Ezekiel 18 and verse number 4. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse number 4. And I want you to see what Jesus says here. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse number 4. Because Jesus says in Ezekiel 18, 4. And look what he's saying here. Because see, the people that we deal with don't belong to us. They belong to the Lord. In spite of all babies that are born in the world came from God. In spite of what we become, how we live our life. My wife and I was riding down the road the other day and we saw an individual and tears began to flow. And I began to think that's somebody's child. I mean, he was talking to himself and he was like he was directing traffic because, see, something in the world had caused his mind probably to go bad. But he still was a soul. Do you think that made him any lesser? Because everything that God made, all humans that are born belong to the Lord. And that's what Ezekiel 18:4 said. It says, behold, all souls are mine. Amen? As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And brethren, you can't change that. There's no legislation, there's no Congress, there's no president can change God's word. This is truth. And the way that we should look at individuals, as we look at this lesson very quickly, is to realize the urgency of the matter. Let's go to John 4 right quick. John 4:35, because see, it's time. It's time. It's time. Because when you go to John chapter 4 and 35, I want you to see what the Bible is saying here. John 4 and 35. Here, the word of God says, back up verse 34. Here, Jesus said to them, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to do what? The harvest. And what that simply means, folks, all we got to do is just wake up. Just look around us. And like I said, begin to make that mental note. Just say, Joe, Susie, just make you a mental note. Who you know that is lost, that will surely what? Die. That belong to the Lord. Amen. Lift up your eyes unto the Lord. Amen. Identify. Until you identify, you're never going to achieve. See, to realize the urgency of the matter, because Jesus simply said here, to lift up your eyes and look on the field. Underline that. Look on the field. An assignment for us to do today. Just go home and get you a white piece of paper. And husbands don't let wives see, and wives don't let husbands do. This is an individual project that each soul must do. And the reason why, it's not a team thing. It's an individual command that each and every one of us have to do. And just begin to make note. Don't say nothing to nobody. Just look on the field. And to begin to note. Note what kind of harvest you have. See what you need to pick from. You need to pick from all of them, amen. And begin to make that note. Begin to identify. And you'll be surprised if you told the truth and you wrote down every name, because every name belonged to the Lord, amen. And you'll be surprised. That one piece of paper won't be enough. Won't be enough. That we can act upon as we strive to do the Lord's will. So in summation, brethren, that's about what I want to say. Because for the next 4 months, Fair Park going to be about the Lord's business. We're not going to say, well, we're going to set no goals. Because if one soul asks that question, that's enough to say we've been successful. If we can snatch one acquaintance from all of our list, but we did the best that we could. We were the light. We were the salt. We were those written epistles. But we come together as one and realize we're not going to have no family day. We're not going to have no special occasion. We're just going to preach the word. We're not going to add to, nor will we take away. But we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're not going to buy no hot air balloons, Julius. We're not going to get no green buses, Julius. We're just going to let the power of the word of God do it. Because that's all we need. But we'll do examining. We as a congregation will examine. And we'll look at our harvest. And we'll check and see how good of farmers we are. Seed bearers. As we identify the harvest that is plenteous, but the labor's not going to be few, because we all going to work together for the building of the kingdom. And that's the devil that's calling me. And I'm sorry. I thought it was off. But we all have sinned, amen, falling short of the glory of God. Let me close by going to Colossians 3. And the lesson will be out. Colossians 3:1. Colossians 3:1. I want to begin reading. And verse 10. I'm just going to start reading. Colossians 1:10. And you know this is a part of the 21, right? Amen. He said that we may walk worthy of the Lord. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful, and every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, if you got your Bible, I want you to see what the Holy Spirit is saying here. Number one, to walk worthy of the Lord means that these adjectives describe the way we need to look. Number one, we need to be pleasing. We need to be fruitful. We need to have good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you see that? See, if we don't have these attributes, you can look into the fields all you want to. But it's not going to do us any good. Colossians 1:10. I'm sorry. Did I say something else? Colossians 1:10. Let's start over, okay? Colossians 1:10. Y'all there? Let's look at it one more time. He said that you may walk worthy. Well, the question that we ask, how do we walk worthy? Number one, unto the Lord. And in doing so, this is how we look. Pleasing, fruitful, every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And when we do that, number two, we are strengthened with all might. So, brethren, as we prepare, that's what we need to do. We need to stay in the Word, walking in the Lord, be pleasing, being fruitful in every good work as we increase in the understanding, in the knowledge of God, that we may be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. If you got your Bible, write Romans 1:16. That is the power of the Word of God. Too many times, brethren, we want to be soul winners, but we need gadgets and gidgets. Amen. We're not going to get you here. We're going to get you here through the power of the Word of God, because we've been strengthened as we walk in the Lord based on us being pleasing, fruitful, having good works, because we've been increasing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, does that make sense? If you want to play on our team, this is your attributes. Because see, the harvest is not going to mean nothing to you, because you're going to reap the wrong way. Amen? And I've been there. And what we sow, we reap. But when you sow toward the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And then we ask questions, Jews, well, why did Norwood fall? Well, why did this happen? Well, it was done the wrong way. Because we weren't walking in the Lord. Because we walk in the Lord, being pleasing, being fruitful, and it had good works, increasing in the knowledge as we strengthen ourselves, amen, with all might, according to the power, brethren, we'll still be going. Do you understand what I'm saying? Too many times we want to go outside God's word to get things done, and all you got to do is stay in God's word. Amen. We spend a lot of money on advertising for big days. We spend a lot of money on, don't worry about that. We worry about spending a lot of money on radio advertising, TV advertising. This is the best advertising you got by the life that you live. Can you imagine every Christian in Birmingham had these attributes? The church would be on fire. Man, the church of Christ would be on fire. That we all spoke the same thing. We all of one accord. We all was of one accord of judgment. And understand what Paul was telling the church of Colossae. Because we're in the 21, amen. Am I right? And that's the reason why. We're not going to have no special days. I'm going to be y'all have a friend day. Every Sunday is friend day. Every Wednesday night is friend's day. Every time we're blessed to come, we are friends, amen. Because we're heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ, amen. It's good to see Julius and Sarah, amen. Am I right? They'll be my brother, they'll be my friend that Jesus called me home. But we got to understand what Jesus is saying. See, look at verse 12. Giving thanks, see, unto the Father. You're thankful for being saved? You're thankful for being sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you ever do that? Don't you look at me strange, because sanctified, John 17, is that we've been translated from what? Darkness to light. And we are filled with the Word. Am I right? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the what? Holy Spirit. The Word dwells in us. Amen. Do you ever thank Him for it? Or do you just take it for granted? See, when you sit here and tell me you don't have time for the Lord, well, brother, you need to read this again. Because if you ain't got time for the Lord, I know you ain't got time for the harvest. If you ain't got time to take care of your own spiritual welfare, how you going to take care of somebody else's? Am I right? Or you tell me you ain't got time to submit three lines to help your brother? Amen. Or you ain't got time to read three chapters a day to help your brother, to edify, build, and grow together? Something wrong. You better read this again, brother. Because number one, if you can't save yourself, how you going to save somebody else? Don't make no list. The only name you should have on that list is your name. Don't go no further. Y'all going to make me preach. Y'all with me? Come on, examine yourself. Think about it. Amen. He says, give thanks unto the Father. Look what he said. Which has made us. Underline that word us. That's the same. He's not talking into denominationalism. You know, I told you about the book downstairs. That is a book that identifies different churches. You want to visit, you get this book, and you want to find your church to fit your satisfaction. And they got all these different titles about a B church, a W church, a NI church, a I church, a OC church, and all that. And I got to looking at that. I said, what do all this mean? Well, if you want to go to Montgomery, you want to look for a black non-institution, that's BNI. Or if you want a W, one couple, that's a WOC. What about the church? How come when we go to Montgomery, let's look for the church of faithful saints, those who are partakers of the inheritance, and we are saints of light. Amen. See, until we understand that, brethren, until we see that, brethren, we don't need to go no further with the harvest. Because the blind can't lead the blind. These are attributes that we have to possess before we go into that community. Because guess what? What's done in the dark gonna come to light. Be sure your sins will find you out. You can fool somebody some of the time, but you'll never fool God. And sooner or later, people see your phony. People see that you really is not a Christian. And they will walk up to you and say, scratch my name off your list. And it should never be. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then Colossians 3, and this is it, I promise you. He says here, if you did be risen with Christ. So you can't be risen with Christ unless you are walking worthy of the Lord, pleasing, fruitful, are possessing good works, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all might according to his glory. See, if you then be risen with Christ. See, if you're not on the book, you're not going to see. And then when you sit up here and tell yourself or tell me excuses, are you trying to make excuses for you not assembling, excuses for you not praying, excuses for you not stuttering? Well, I know why. You might not know why, but I know why. Because if you're not risen, you're not going to seek. You're not going to seek. You're not going to understand what Jesus is saying when he said that the harvest are plenteous. Because, number one, you're not saved yourself. Don't that make sense? Whether you want to say, Al, I don't appreciate you saying that about me. I didn't say it. You said it. By a life you chose to, I didn't choose to live your life. You chose to live it. I chose to live my life. Because every man must bear his own burden. I can go on and on, brother, but time don't permit. But I think you got the point. I think I got the point. Today is September the 1st. It's time to go to work. And it's not a numbers game. I don't play that. I play a Jesus game. Some plant, some water, but God will give the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:6. If you be here today and you need to respond to the invitation, come right now as we stand and we sing. Nothing but the, thank you, my friends. Jesus.